Hello, this is Alan Seal from the Center for Transformational Presence at transformationalpresence.org, and you might hear my dogs in the background too have suddenly decided there's something they need to bark at. I think that I'm on the public microphone. Would you please just press 1 on your phone if you can hear me speak, just so I know we're all on. Great. I'm seeing ones. Perfect. Perfect. So welcome, everyone. I'm so happy that you're here with us today, and I especially welcome Mark van den Einde and Sujit Ravindran for being with us on and introducing us to this human potential assessment tool and to their work, this way that they are working in organizations, a different perspective that they're bringing that is very exciting to me of how we are truly touching the heart in business and moving into another way of working. So Mark and Sujit, thank you so much for being with us and the gifts that you are bringing us today. I want to just dive right into the call. So I'm going to turn it over to Mark and Sujit to introduce yourselves briefly and then move right on into the presentation, just so that everybody knows. We'll have a presentation of maybe 40 or 45 minutes or something like that, I think, Mark and Sujit, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Great. And then we'll open it up for questions and comments and so forth. So we'll leave everyone in the audience on mute while they do their presentation, and then when we move into the question and answers, then we can give microphones to those who'd like to speak. I'll give more instructions about that when the time comes. So for now, I turn it over to Mark and Sujit, and welcome again. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Alan, and welcome also to your lovely dog. I'm glad that they're joining us today as well.
They're very happy to be welcomed.
Yeah. So thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity for us to come and share this tool that we have. And I also want to thank you again for, you know, all the wonderful teachings and all the support that you've given me over the years. And just say how much of that has actually fed into this work, and so much of what we're going to share today is coming from, you know, from a lot of the learnings, a lot of the insights, a lot of the support that I received. So I'm very grateful for that. I also want to thank Mary Riley from the Center of Transformational, from the Center for Nonprofit Coaching, and Mark Braber from Quinter. They're joining us as well. They'll be sharing their firsthand experience using the tool. They're one of our early adopter clients, and so I just want to thank them for joining us in this capacity. Thank them for the trust that they put in us and in this tool, and their willingness to learn with us along the way. And then finally, a big welcome and a big thank you to everyone who joined the call today and anyone who decides to listen later on. So I'm glad to have this opportunity, and I hope that you find this insightful, and I hope that it opens up many opportunities for all of us in the future. So before we dive into the presentation, Sujit and I just wanted to share a little bit of our own personal journey on how, you know, what got us to this place. How did we end up here? And for me, it really started about 10 years ago when I was still working in a large multinational company in the fast-moving consumer goods industry. And I had a role that was I was kind of at the center of the innovation process. So I was in market research, marketing research, and my responsibility was to glean insights from consumers and from the marketplace, and to help translate that into new business opportunities. So being kind of at that center point of the innovation process, I remember just being blown away by the incredible talent that was all around me in the R&D function, in the marketing function, et cetera, et cetera. I was also blown away by the incredible resources that were available to such a company, in terms of, you know, the investments that they can make and new product development, the investments they can make in marketing and bringing these products to market. And then finally, also just the reach. You know, these global companies, they have incredible reach across the world, and the impact that they could have, you know, if when meaningful, truly meaningful innovation does come to life there, you know, they can very quickly touch many, many billions of people. So, you know, there was a lot of awe, and there was also a real strong sense that we were only scratching the surface of what was possible. But there was a lot of potential, a lot of human potential that was remaining untapped. And I can just give a little example for that. It's, so I worked in on the laundry detergent business, and you know, on the surface, I guess it seems very not very meaningful and very basic. But when you think about it, the amount of water, for example, that is used in the laundry process, and the amount of chemicals that go into doing the laundry, you know, you start to realize that there is actually huge potential to decrease water consumption, to decrease the level of chemicals, et cetera. But that requires very much a long-term vision, and it requires the organization to make choices on where they put their resources. And they would need to put their resources, you know, 50%, 60%, 70%, 80% of the resources into these longer term projects, at the expense of maybe some of these short term projects. And what I was seeing is that actually the reverse was true, that the majority of the resources were going into shorter term projects that were, you know, really about providing little tweaks in the formulation, increasing, you know, the performance by a little bit, but not really having any real meaningful impact. And at the end of the day, the people who were working on that business also would go home feeling like, yeah, that was a decent day, but we weren't feeling like we were really contributing in a big way. So anyway, many years went by, and I came to the realization that actually, yes, this is an area that I feel extremely passionate about, and I feel like this is an area that I want to help organizations make that kind of shift, make that kind of transformation where they feel more confident putting resources and putting all their resources into these bigger and longer term ideas. And so, you know, that is kind of what has got me here today, you know, because I think what this tool does is it does help organizations, it does help leaders in business feel more confident about how to tap into the human potential in their organizations. So that's a long story from my side, but I hope that gives a little bit of perspective on my journey and what has brought me here. I'm just going to hand over to Sujit. He has a few words he'd like to say as well, and then we're going to dive into the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark, you know, for that authentic introduction. And thank you, Mary, for joining us and sharing your truth. Mark Braber, too, and of course, Alan, for facilitating this discussion. I don't know if your team member, Kim, is in this chat. If she's there or not, thank you to her for making this the logistics possible. And thanks, of course, to the audience. I know that there are people who are joining us today from 3 or even 4 continents, and it's a pleasure. So I don't know whether I should say good morning or good night, but welcome. Very briefly about me, my life also has got a parallel with Mark's journey. I was in the corporate setting at the turn of the millennium and extremely successful in a management role. And then I felt this sense of meaninglessness, sense of purposelessness coming in. Okay, I seem to have achieved a lot of things, yet this deep sense of fulfillment, this idea of purpose and fulfilling potential, that was something that I felt I could do more with. Both with myself and with others. I did some experiments during the last few years of my corporate life at that time, early 2000s. with the idea, experiments with what I called at that time humanistic organizations, essentially trying to, you know, create organizations where people can find meaning and fulfill potential. And though it was very external driven, helping others find meaning and fulfill potential, now, 12 years later, I can look back and I can say, like, it was actually a personal experiment. Soon after all those experiments, I left the corporate world, and I also left a big part of my personal life behind. And I went through a passage of some startups and coaching activities and numerous other self-realization experiments. And slowly, a clarity started to come. It was falling in place in terms of what was fulfilling me and most in my life, what was fulfilling me in my profession. And those experiments, you know, many of those experiments I conducted together with Mark. So about 6 years back, when we conceived being at full potential, at the core of it was this yearning that Mark spoke about, and I briefly got this opportunity to share about these experiments with trying to find meaning, purpose, fulfilling our infinite potential that we have inside. And last summer, we road tested this model. We conceived, by last summer, we had this model called the Human Potential Model, and we started to road test a tool that is based on this model. And if you all have the slides in front of you, then what I do is to invite you to slide 2, where you have the agenda. What we're going to do in the remaining time we have before we go into questions and answers is briefly look at some of the needs that we observe in the market out there among organizations and individuals, and the solution that we felt we were brought here to conceive. We look at some of the benefits of the model and the tool. And again, thank you to Mary and Mark Graber, who are here to share some of their experiences. We'll also speak about present 3 case studies. And then we'll just wrap up giving you a little glimpse of our vision and strategy and the next steps. The vision you already must have sensed from what Mark shared and I shared. It's around making human potential realization the number one focus for all of us. That is what drives us in being at full potential. And we'll come back to that again. And through the presentation, you will see more of that. Moving on to slide 3, looking at some of the needs. Look at organizations over the past 25 years. They've tried a lot of different management innovations, whether it's about outsourcing, restructuring, innovation, geographic expansion, product upgrades, all of that. All of that we've mastered. Organizations have created tremendous value. And now there is a renewed question after these two, one after the other, crisis that happened in the West. There's a renewed urgency question around how do we create new value. This is clearly a need that we are hearing around. At the individual level, at the same time, we are starting to see this deep yearning for meaning and purpose. And Mark will refer back to this again. In Procter & Gamble, for example, some time back there was an employee engagement survey done. And guess what came out of that as the number one priority, the number one yearning of employees? It was the pursuit of meaning and purpose. And one other interesting need that we noticed was through all the assessments that we've done in the past close to 12 months, and there's been many, many countless people and numerous organizations, about 50 to 60% of the people that we meet within organizations. No, I should rearticulate it. People are within organizations are utilizing about 50 to 60% of their available skills and talents. So that's 50 to 60% only of their available strength, gifts. And we believe human potential maximization is the next paradigm for value creation. Slide number four, we'll skip that. I refer back to all of this in slide three. We'll just go over to slide number five. Again, on the needs that we've noticed out there. To make these needs more visible, a different set of questions we ought to be asking, whether it's within organizations or related to individuals. Organizations, you know, should really be asking what percentage of my organization's potential is being utilized today. And there's an answer for that. From the studies that we've done about large organizations, 60%, 65% is a fair benchmark for that. We are increasingly hearing organizations ask, you know, what is the bottom line impact of 5% improvement in human potential in my organization, whether we are 100,000 people or we are just 100 people. 5% improvement in the realization of human potential, what could it translate to? Tangible or intangible? Very valuable question. And we have some numbers too on that one from our study. We'll come back to that later perhaps. Another very important question, and this is something that we've heard from top level CEOs, but also people managers. Yes, I have this great group of people. I need to understand what levers can I pull in order to get these people to elevate to a new level of operation, whether it's at the productivity level, whether it's at the performance level, or simply in terms of fulfillment, contentment. You know, what is it that I can do as a manager, as a leader, to help these people step up? At an individual level, we are hearing some of these questions, but also if we are not hearing it, we ought to be asking these questions as individuals. That is, of course, what percentage of my human potential is being utilized today? And what do I need to work on? Getting some clarity, I spent about 7 years myself asking this question, what do I need to really do to allow my infinite potential to unfold? Because I want to be fulfilled, I want to be content in what I do. And how can I measure and track? Now, I know from Alan that a huge part of this audience are very accomplished coaches, consultants, OD specialists, but also many people who joined this call from organizations. Yes, organizations and people ought to be asking this question, but also I feel each one of us, we have a role in getting organizations and individuals to ask these questions so that the need becomes more visible. This is a little bit of a summary around the needs that we noticed out there that kind of compelled us to move forward with the human potential model. Mark, if you'd like to briefly take us through the description of the model.
Yes, thank you, Sujit. So on slide six, the solution. So now we're going to talk about the solution. First the need, now the solution. Now, the first part of the solution actually was for us to start to allow ourselves and to give ourselves permission to ask some of these questions, some of these big questions. And I just want to kind of stress this one as quite important, because I remember, you know, talking about human potential and the possibility of measuring it and quantifying it, and remember the response that I would get back in those days was, you know, that's not possible, you know, you can't measure such a thing, you know, it's a soft skill, you can't measure it. And I actually believed that for a long time. And I, you know, I just didn't consider the possibility of doing it, because, you know, it was not in the realm of what was possible. Until one day we actually gave ourselves permission to say, well, what if we could do it? And we gave ourselves permission to step into that place of not knowing, you know, saying, okay, we have no idea how to do this. But we're going to allow ourselves to ask that question. We're going to allow ourselves to explore that. And that was an amazing time. And I remember that being, you know, it was a good year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When Suj and I first sat down and we said, okay, let's go and figure this out. Let's go and explore this. And then amazing things started to flow. Incredible things started to flow. You know, we started to think about, okay, what would be a hypothesis? What would be some framework around that? And it was just a huge brainstorm there. And little by little, a framework started to emerge. And little by little, we started to see how this could translate into a questionnaire, into a survey, into very concrete statements that people can respond to and evaluate on. What we realized is that actually, you know, we were approaching the whole idea of organizational performance from a very different angle. We were looking at it, coming at it from a very different angle. So the questions that we were asking were also quite different. And the feedback we were getting from people who were first trying the survey were saying, yeah, these are actually really interesting questions. And we actually quite enjoyed taking the survey. It made us think in different ways. Of course, when the questions are different, then the insights and the output is also very different. You know, because there's many organizational assessment tools out there on the market. But we do believe that because we're coming at it from a different angle, we do actually provide, you know, quite different insights. And ideas. And I'll just move to slide 7 to give a little bit more specifics on that. We're now at slide 7, which is, probably the key slide in this presentation. This is where all the meat is. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to kind of go through that. And we're going to go through it just step by step. And I'll start on the left with the human potential meter. And this is essentially just the very top, you know, the very top line overview of how an individual or an organization, what their overall score is from a human potential realization point of view. And you can see it's very simple. It's either underutilized, or it's average, or it's well utilized, or it's maximized. So you get a kind of an overall sense of where you're at. Then, of course, the next question is, okay, that's great, but what do I do with this? How do I move forward? How do I act on this? And then of course you need to understand what lies beneath that. So now we're going to move to the second diagram, the house diagram. It looks like a house. And essentially we came to this, you know, everything that's in that house, you know, that really was the result of extensive research on our side, extensive experience, you know, just personal experience, and really coming to the conclusion that, individuals and organizations who really live their full potential embody 4 states. We call them states, and those states are being inspired, being abundant, being in service, and being aware. And each of those states has 6 dimensions. So 6, you'll see the little, under each of those states, there's 6 dimensions that really help to qualify those states. And I just want to give a little bit of a feel for what each of these states represents. And I'm going to start at the foundation one. So that's the being aware, the bottom of the house. It's the foundation pillar of the house, essentially. And this is what informs the rest of the pillars. So it kind of goes upwards. And this being aware state is really it really measures the extent to which individuals, organizations, groups of people can really clearly articulate who they are and why they are here. What is the purpose? What are they trying to achieve together? What do they stand for? Who are they, et cetera? And to have a lot of clarity on that and to be able to speak, you know, in a very aligned way on what that is, what that vision is, what that mission is, et cetera. So we measure that. And then that feeds into the pillar of being inspired. And being inspired, I think the best way to kind of give people a sense of what that is for me, it's kind of the state of childlike wonder. You know, so it's children who are, I think of children, you know, that are naturally curious, naturally asking lots of questions, naturally willing to explore, to experiment, to make mistakes, to see possibility, to be open, etc. So we really measure the extent to which an organization embodies these characteristics. Now, being inspired, I remember during my days when I was working in these corporate environments was, you know, we would often have creativity workshops or inspiration workshops. And, you know, the team would go off-site or we'd find a nice inspirational place and we'd spend a day together and we would be fully inspired. We would embody a lot of these characteristics and it was great. And then we would go back into the office the next day and all of that was within the first morning. Everything was kind of gone again because we came into the pressure and the environment, et cetera, was not conducive to keeping that alive. And that's what the next state is about, is being abundant. And being abundant is really about, it's a state that allows the inspiration to flourish and to really bring it to life. So it's kind of the conditions, the culture within an organization and the extent to which, you know, there's a trust and an openness for people to remain inspired. And, you know, it's the ability to look beyond the challenges and the obstacles and to see the opportunities, the ability to remain positive in the face of, very challenging situations. And I think that is really what keeps people inspired and keeps people motivated. And then the next state, being in service, so that really, we try there to measure the extent to which somebody is, or a group of individuals again, are motivated by a higher purpose, are motivated by something that is bigger than themselves. And so not by their own interest, but by some bigger cause that inspires them. And again, I think this is one of the keys to having this culture of abundance. It's a sense of we're all in this together. We're all part of a bigger journey that we're, you know, we need to collaborate for this. We need to reach out. It's not us versus them. It's about we're all in this together to create a meaningful impact. And that really captures this state of being in service. So when all of these states are fully embodied, fully lived, that is when the full potential has been realized or people step into their full potential. The last thing I just want to say about this model is that the foundation pillar, so the being aware, it's kind of a intellectual state. So it's, you know, I can very clearly express who I am, why we're here, but it still remains at a quite an intellectual level. The other states are very different in the sense that it really captures the extent to which that awareness is expressed and lived in the day-to-day, the extent to which it's really brought to life. And I think both of these are very important aspects to measure, you know, the extent to which one knows where they're going, and then the extent to which they're living that and embodying that. Okay, so that's it for slide 7. We'll now move on to slide 8. We won't spend a lot of time on that one, but I just want to pick up on the last thing that I said about knowing where you're going and then actually living it. And this 2x2 framework captures that. On the vertical axis, it's the stated awareness, so the extent to which somebody can very clearly articulate their vision and their values, et cetera. And then the horizontal axis is the actualized, we call it the actualized awareness. And that's the extent to which it's lived. And so we have four quadrants. And, you know, you can see for yourself, there are cases where, you know, people are very clear on where they're going. And then in practice, you know, things kind of fall through the crack. There are people who are living really, you know, embodying inspiration and living in very abundant ways, but there's not a lot of clarity on what direction they're going, you know, and that's the bottom right quadrant. And then you have cases, unfortunately, you know, still a lot of mainstream cases are in business, are in this lower left quadrant, where the, you know, the stated awareness is fairly low and the actualized awareness is quite low. But what this framework does is it allows us to start seeing the beginnings of the roadmap, you know. So it's not about judging, you know, this is good or this is bad. It's just saying, okay, this is kind of the current reality. And the top right quadrant is obviously where we'd like to be. So how do we start drawing a plan? How do we start putting in place a roadmap that will allow us to get from where we are today to, you know, where we would like to be, which is maximizing our human potential. So now we're moving to slide 9, and I will pass that back over to Sujit.
Thanks, Mark. Great description, clear to me now, finally. So far, we looked at the needs that drove us over these past 6 years or so to arrive at this model, and a description of the various components, the dimensions, and the states that underpin the model. I won't take any time on this slide, just highlighting the benefits that we've noticed so far. The most important one being, of course, 24 dimensions. You looked in that house, there are 24 dimensions along which we are mapping an individual or an organization. And along each one of these dimensions, there are life-transforming insights that we receive every time we are witnessing somebody's report. That breadth is needed. The reason why we discovered that breadth is needed is because each human being is different. Every organization is different from the other. And being able to put them on four axes, four dimensions, or 10 dimensions, somehow we felt that is nice for simplicity's sake, yet that does not capture the breadth and complexity that each individual or organization has. That's the reason why the model grew to have 24 dimensions. Again, there are a number of tools out there. They check your personality type. How do you relate to other people within groups or teams? What kind of a transpersonal role do you embody when you're in a team or in an organization or even at home? We felt we need to penetrate those conditions, those patterns, those belief systems, those habits, and go deeper within to a more unconscious level, where we can tap into an inner place and try to understand individuals and organizations from that inner place. I believe the human potential model achieves that. The next bullet, for anything to get done, at least the favorite motto within organizations is, what gets measured gets done. Now, if I really can't understand the levers that I can pull, the specific areas where I can intervene, I can't get potential, to unleash potential, whether it's an individual or we are discussing a large organization. The 24 dimensions in the house gives you that handle. Perhaps the fourth bullet is the most important one. Many, many coaches who have expressed enthusiasm to take this assessment tool and use it within their network. This is a key request that came up for us. You know, they were looking for something that will help them roadmap transformation. whether it's for a corporate client or whether it's for an individual client. This model helps us, whether we are working with political or business leaders or managers for that reason, or just friends who are using this assessment tool, to use these 24 dimensions to create a roadmap for a coaching plan, a training plan, a transformation plan from here until end of 3 months or 12 months. The fifth bullet, again, comes back to the fourth one where effectiveness. I want to demonstrate a category change in the life of my client, whether it's an organization or individual. Can I do that? Can I become more effective? I believe the model accomplishes that. So that is a quick summary at the very high level. We have a lot more details, but for the presentation to this audience, we felt we don't want to go much deeper into that. So high-level summary of some of the benefits. What Mark will do is, now that you've seen some of the needs, the solution that we've conceived, some of the benefits of the solution, a couple of case studies, individual and organizational case studies that we've conducted, and a couple of quick insights. Mark?
Yes, thanks, Ajit. So on slide 10, you don't have to get, you know, we won't get into the details of the slide. I just want to tell the quick story of this case, actually. So this is a story about a lady who works in a nonprofit organization, you know, she took the assessment, and we looked at the results, and of course we had some chats with her, so we got to know her a little bit. And what came out was, you know, she joined this organization full of great aspirations and you know, real desire to make a difference. And you know, as she started to work within this group, she started to realize that there was a bit of a disconnect between, I guess, what she had thought the job would be like and what she thought the experience would be like working for this organization and the reality, and the reality of the day-to-day. As you can see, you know, the red that kind of stands out right in the middle, it's along the dimension of trust and control. And in this case, what we realized is that because there was this disconnect, somehow unconsciously she was trying to control the environment and push against it and trying to make things happen, you know, the way she thought or the way she wanted it to be. And so there was this tension. There was a, you know, an element of control that was being exerted. And I remember when we played this back to her and we showed her the house and kind of, you know, talked a little bit about the story with her, it resonated very, very strongly. And she was quite surprised that, you know, from a set of data, we'd be able to kind of come to that type of interpretation or that type of insight. So that's the an individual case study. The next slide, slide 11, is a case of an organization that we ran an assessment with, and here you can really clearly see the foundation pillar being green, and then the other three states, you know, having quite a lot of yellow and a lot of opportunity areas in there. And this is a perfect example of an organization that has a very strong sense of who they are and where they're going, and they can articulate it very, very clearly, and they can, you know, express it very well. But then in reality, there's the behaviors and the actions are not really matching. So the insight there was not really walking the talk as much as they could be. And, you know, again, very interesting when we did play this back and we showed them the data and we
There was some recognition of this, but you know, it's not. This is not the easiest case to really move forward with, you know, because I think there is, you know, there is this belief that yes, we're doing the right thing. Yes, we are on track. So to recognize that there are some opportunities is, you know, is a challenge. But I guess the, you know, the benefit of this kind of tool is that it's data. It's their data. You know, we're not creating this at all. We're just holding the mirror and playing back what we've seen. So eventually, it does lead to very constructive and productive conversations. And the third case study on slide 12. This is an example of where the real insight was actually a little bit buried deeper in the data, buried a little bit deeper in the data. So what we had to do here is we had an assumption that perhaps there was a difference in the way, you know, when we look at different groups within an organization. So in this case, we isolated the founders and the board members, and we looked at the rest of the organization. And we looked at the data from that perspective. And we realized that along most of the dimensions, there was actually very little variance in that, in those scores. But then there were a couple of dimensions, specifically passion and gratitude, which are two very important elements, where there was a very significant gap in the way these two groups of individuals scored. So that was a really interesting thing, again, to play back to the organization and say, listen, this is what we're seeing, this is what we're observing, what does that mean for you? You know, how do you interpret this data? And it opened up some really, really great and useful and constructive conversations that, you know, and then the next steps really become very, very clear out of that. So there is, you know, it's not just about the house, it's not just about the human potential meter, there's much more deeper analysis that can be done as well, as this case study shows. So there's a lot more to the tool than I guess needs to be asked. Okay, so now we're going to ask our dear friends Mary and Mark to share a little bit of their experience, because we've done a lot of the talking here. And Sujit, do you want to facilitate this piece?
Please, thank you. Yeah, Mary, you're there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Mary, for, you know, joining this call. You know, I've known you now for a few months through some of our calls, and more than just being one of the founders of the Center for Nonprofit Coaching, I've come to know you as a very vibrant energy center of CNPC, and having that energy that goes even beyond that venture to every aspect of your life. So in that sense, a lot of what we see in the human potential model, especially somebody who is being inspired, being abundant, I always see you maximized in those areas. So thank you for joining us. Let's see. You had the opportunity, Mary, to use the model among a group of very accomplished coaches. What have you appreciated most about working with this model, with this tool?
Well, there are two major things, Sujit, that jump out at me. One is the flexibility, the customization that takes place. Our organization was founded from the Transformation Presence Leadership and Coaching work. Our first business plan was a manifestation wheel. And so clearly what we coach around and what we are is focused on transformation and potential. That was what drew us to this, to your assessment tool. And also the second thing is we have a sense, even though we're just, you know, we've been through the tool itself, and now we're having the follow-up conversations, but that there's something that captures the human spirit here of each individual in an organization that I think I can say that none of us have experienced in this way before. It so well lines up with our organization because it inspires around purpose. It inspires around our being. So those are really the two big things that jump out. And then I hope you're going to ask me next about what it is about you and Mark that have also joined us today.
Oh, please go ahead.
Okay, and my partner Max is fond of quoting or paraphrasing what Stephen Covey says about seek first to understand and then be understood. And I would say that that you and Mark really that could be one of your mottos, because our community of 10 coaches, I would say it's a very creative and curious community. And also, as we entered into this process, there were some challenges around this as well. And I just want to say what a great job to everyone Sujit and Mark did with stepping up to those. We had questions around the actual science behind this. You know, individuals in our organization who are familiar with other assessment tools and really didn't at first glance recognize where this was with regard to scientific integrity. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we had some questions around maybe more in the quantum physics area about the time-space continuum. You know, how does one, we wanted to, in our now that we're in our third year, we wanted to plan for and from the future. And to find a path that we could explore together. I think Sujit referred to it as a roadmap. And so there was some questions about how do you live in the moment? How do you let opportunities show up and then also be planning ahead, you know, and capturing that? And you know, the big thing here is that it is a multidimensional view. It's not, which by that I don't mean a 360, for those of you who have done that kind of work, because it is truly, you know, what Alan has taught us about rising above things, looking down, looking underneath, looking behind, and especially spending time at the energetic level. I don't think that I have encountered an instrument that pushes into that realm in a somewhat comfortable fashion, you know, that folks can follow and engage in. And so, anyway, those are the big things that jumped out at me, and I know I could go on and on, and I know Mark is going to have a perspective on this too. So thank you.
Oh, Mary, thank you. Thank you so much. It's the engagement that I've had with you always enriches me, makes me feel alive. Thank you again for coming into the call to share some of your personal experience using this model, using this tool. Mark Braber, again, I've had the opportunity to meet Mark Braber and his wonderful wife and whole family, actually. And I see Mark, somebody as intensely passionate about his own personal growth, as much as he's passionate about the personal growth or the collective growth of the clients he serves. And that has kind of given a rise to many, many fruitful chats. But also, one of the projects we did together for a rather large client, organization of Mark's client. And Mark, you're there?
He seems to have just dropped off the line, so hopefully he'll be right back in. He was here until just a moment ago.
All right, okay. No worries. Alan, if you could give me a sign when he's back online.
I will.
Otherwise, what we'll do
here
is...
He is. He's back. He's back.
All right.
Yes. Okay, Mark. Great. We got you back.
All right. Okay, good. Mark,
Hold on. I have to move you to the main room, I think. Aha. Okay.
Hello?
Mark.
This is Mark.
Mark and Sujit, can you hear each other?
Yes. I can hear Mark.
Okay, great.
Lovely. Mark, I was just pulling you into the call, and it seems that the call dropped off at your end. Glad that you're back.
Thank you.
Now, I was briefly sharing with the audience my little experience meeting you and your family and having this gratifying opportunity working with you with a major company in the Netherlands. Now,
thank you.
Thanks so much. You know, it's late in the evening there in Europe. Thanks for making the time to join us and share some of your experience. A question that comes to me is, how has this assessment enabled your client's developmental journey?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm really pleased to answer it. Because the client we are serving, we served this client for a couple of years now, and one of the missing links in the process was a tool which we could use to assess the whole organization on all deeper levels, especially on the level of awareness. And then you both came with this beautiful initiative on the right time, on the right place. So when I had the opportunity to use it and to share it with my client, then I didn't felt any hesitation. So we just move on, and it went out very well, and the results are they are really striking me, because what we had found out already by having individual coaching sessions with the management and the board members, the tool, the beautiful tool you have developed, analyzed on an even more deeper level what was really going on in this company, and what was needed to really get the full potential of this company available. So it helped us a lot at the first place to have an overview of what was really going on in the people themselves, not only on the surface but on the deeper levels. And the results of the assessment, they really were striking for all of us, because it was really spot on what was going on in this beautiful company. And it helped us a lot to convince our clients in the next steps we had already proposed. But before, our clients had some hesitation, because they really thought it was a too big step to do sole mission work in a whole company. But after the assessment, and after we had shared our insights, then the client was also convinced that this was very, very important to do so. So the good news is that last month, we did sole mission work for the board members and the senior management of this company, and it was wonderful to do. And this coming month, we will do it for the middle management, and in September, we will also do it for another important group of this company. And the tool really helped us to have the big picture of this company, and in a co-creative way, it made it possible for us to set the next steps in a very organic way, without any feeling of pushing or forcing it. It really was very smooth, and it was very very organic. So it helped us a lot as to serve our client, but it also served the client themselves, and they were very enthusiastic about this wonderful instrument.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mark, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing so profoundly the experience of your client using this tool, but also using the findings to roadmap their path to transformation.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely. Mm-hmm. Mark, you know, I mean, I could hear more and more, but in the interest of time, we can continue the chat later. Thanks so much once again to Mary and Mark for opening your heart, making the time available, and sharing your experiences. Mark, if you'd like to kind of bring the last pieces together to closure around the vision strategy, Mark Bantadainde.
Yeah. Okay, so slide 14. So Sujit mentioned this already at the beginning of the call, but we just wanted to reinforce it now that really we have taken a stand for making human potential the number one priority, and bringing it to the top of the agenda, you know, in organizations. And you know, this, I think, you know, my experience with you know, working with organizations is that a lot of people are now at a point where they know how important their human capital is. You know, I don't think there's a lot of hesitation there anymore. So I think more and more people are actually willing to acknowledge, yes, you know, the real source of our competitive advantage lies in our human capital. But the missing link is that, you know, to really put it at the top of the agenda is people need to understand how to act on it. How do I, you know, very deliberately take steps to further bring out the potential in my people? You know, if on average it's 60% that is utilized, that is realized, how do we move from 60 to 80% or from 60 to 90%? What does that journey look like? How do we do it, et cetera, et cetera? This is the missing link. And I just want to give a very, very quick example. Again, from my time back in the corporate environment, I remember there was a time where we, you know, we did one of these employee satisfaction surveys, and it was a big cross, you know, across the entire organization. Everybody filled in this survey, and months went by, where you know a whole huge team was crunching the data, analyzing the results, and then finally came the day where, you know, we were given the feedback and the presentation on what they found, what they discovered, and the big insight was that meaning is the number one driver of employee satisfaction, of employee fulfillment, and that was a big insight. But there was also a big question mark of like, okay, that's great. How do we now move forward? How do we now act on this? And so this is, you know, this is the area that we're positioned, that we, you know, we're taking a stand for, we're positioning ourselves, is to help companies actually take that journey, and to help companies understand how do they go from you know, an average human potential utilization to a great utilization of their potential, and in the process, the meaning piece will get, you know, will get taken care of. That's, you know, that's going to come by itself. So that's hence our mission. You know, we achieve this vision by quantifying human potential, putting measures there, road mapping it, very specifically helping people see what are the different steps they can start to take, and then ultimately unleashing it. And this is, you know, this is really just the last part of the process. And I think what often happens is that, you know, as coaches and consultants, we come in with the solution. We come in saying, okay, you need this coaching program, you need that coaching program. And for clients who are open to that and already in that place, that's fine. That works perfectly. But in most cases, most organizations, people are not quite at that place where they're willing to spend money and put resources behind transformational work. So you need a process. You need a few steps in between to get to a point where people say, okay, I get it. I understand why we need to do this. I understand what we need to do. I'm ready to sign off on that, and I'm willing to fully commit to this process, which is obviously the most important piece, you know, the how you go into this process, how you show up into these kind of processes. And we're starting to see that really works. It really does create that kind of openness and willingness to engage. So that's where we're heading. On slide 15, I'm just going to, you know, point out one bullet on this one. This is the strategy, and it's really the last bullet that I want to stress, which is expand through a network of trusted partnerships, coaches, consultants, trainers in the field of organization and leadership development. So a big part of our strategy is to really bring this out as widely and as broadly as possible. And obviously, you know, we cannot do this on our own, and therefore we're looking for people who are, you know, aligned on this vision and who are doing work in this field and who say, you know, this is an interesting tool. I can see how that will fit into my portfolio of tools that I use, and I can see how this can benefit my clients, and I would like to partner and to work together. And so this is our strategy on how to, you know, how to multiply, how to create greater impact, and how to really make a difference. So yeah, that's part of what today is about as well. It's about reaching out to all of you on the call and saying, you know, this is an open invitation. If this speaks to you, if this feels aligned with what you're doing, if this feels like it can serve your clients, whether it be individuals that you coach or organizations, then you know, we would like to definitely discuss further.
Mark, there are a couple of dates that I'd like to share, and that's actually the next slide. Slide 16. Don't look through all the details, but a few dates that we set up for those who would like to take advantage of the model for doing the assessment among individuals, and then starting June 19th, 90 minutes per week in the evenings, depending on which part of the planet you are on. 90 minutes per week, 4-week series webinar. We're offering that. If anybody who's listening would like to take advantage of the individual assessment tool, and even if you don't want to use the tool, but you want to understand the model better and use that model as a framework, fine, it'll work well for you. And also in September and October, 1.5-day training, that's in person, both happening in Europe. That is for any of you who's interested in actually taking the tool, taking the model, and actually applying it within organizations, which is a much more complex organism. So more attention is needed for that kind of work. And this is an in-person gathering, both in September and October, Netherlands and Zurich. So these opportunities are there. Anybody who wants any of the details, the specific timings, that'll be ideal for whichever part of the planet you're in, because the number of trainings that we are offering, just do send an email. That would be the ideal way of moving forward with that. Mark?
Yeah, I just want to say that you know, these webinars and these in-person trainings, they're really about it's about presenting the tool, but it's also about enabling people and really training you in how to use the tool and how to bring it to your clients in the most effective ways. So there'll be case studies, it'll be a very kind of interactive session. We'll be sharing as much as we can about what we've learned over the last couple of years, and it's really about, you know, enabling with everything that you need to bring this to your clients. And that's, you know, that's part of the role that we see ourselves playing in the future. It's really in many ways it's a support role. It's about, you know, fine tuning the model, you know, making sure the model stays fully state of the art, and enabling our partners and making sure that they're as equipped as they can be to serve their clients. So that's, you know, that's kind of in broad strokes how we, you know, how we see ourselves evolving. Okay, so that brings our presentation to a close. We'll now open it up for any questions or comments or you know, anything people would like to share. And so I hand it over to Alan. Yes.
Thank you so much, Mark and Sujit. This is such an exciting model. I'm just really thrilled that we've had the opportunity to help you in introducing it. And if you have a question or a comment, please just press 1 on your phone, or if you're calling on Skype, press 1 on your keypad, and I'll give you the microphone to speak. I actually have a question as we start off here, Mark and Sujit. It's wonderful that you have these dates coming up for opportunities. I'm just curious if there's, because the majority of people actually are here who are here on the call live are in North America, and I know that a large percentage of the number who were signed up for the call, there were over 100 people signed up for the call today and who will be listening to the recording, many, many of them are in North America as well. So I just wondered if there's any plan for either a virtual training for organizational assessment or in person in North America.
Mark? Yeah, we go where the need. Yeah, I think the short answer is we go where the need is. So, if there's you know, if there's a need in North America, then we'll be there. Yeah.
Okay. Great. So, anyone have a question or a comment? Just press 1 on your phone or on your Skype keypad, and I'll give you the microphone. All quiet out there.
You know, when there are no questions, that means either of two things. That is, the presentation clarified everything, or the audience, you know, we are all blank.
Well, we have a number of people still here with us, so. Yes, there is one question from Katrine. You have the microphone.
Hi, everybody. It's not really like a question, but it's more like an acknowledgement. What I love about this tool is that it speaks business language, because what business like do is measure it, but it measures the things that really matter to a business. Mm. So what I really like about it is that starting from the language business speak, this tool, and that's what I heard from Mark and Mary as well, seems to open up a door to the conversations that really matter. So that's what intrigues me about it too. And what I'm interested about, because that's always the challenge, I would say, what's the door opener to talk about this kind of stuff? So that's what I think is great. So I'm not available on the days you mentioned, but I'll definitely have a deeper look into this whenever the time is right.
Beautiful. Wow. Great. Thank you, Katrine.
Thanks, Katrine. And Rebecca, you have the microphone.
Thank you, and thank you. This is amazing, and I agree with everything that was just said. I'm in Montana in the U.S., and I'm looking at slide number 7 and looking at the awareness, the foundational pieces, and it looks very similar to the emotional intelligence competency framework that I use. So I'm curious about when you're coaching individuals or groups of people, do you break these down into specific skills that they can practice and tools they can use to enhance their self-awareness, team awareness, et cetera?
Mark?
Yeah. That is a good question, Rebecca. Thank you. You know, this is that. For, you know, for me, this is the second. The, you know, the second part. We didn't share. There's one slide we didn't share. We didn't talk about, and that's kind of the integrated approach. And maybe now is a good time to, you know, to bring that in. So the assessment is really, you know, we look at that as you know, the first step in a process. It's really foot in the door kind of thing. It's meeting, you know, the business people and the clients where they're at. You know, it's with numbers, but it's really a means to an end. You know, so it's a way to put to meet them within their comfort zone, and at the same time to put some really stretch and challenging and interesting and insightful pieces of data on the table and to say, listen, here's what we're feeding back. Here's what we're seeing. Here's the mirror. And that's the first part. And then the second part is a discovery phase. So that's really about putting together. Yeah.
Just a brief interjection. Rebecca, if you can go to slide 15, that'll help you. It'll give you the framework that Mark is exploring. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Slide 15.
Thank you, Sujit. Yeah, thank you. So the second part is the discovery process. So it's really about sitting with the teams and saying, okay, what does this mean for you? Having those conversations, having the dialogue, and having them come up with their own conclusions and their own recommendations. And this is a really important point that we've, and a very important stand that we've taken, is that, you know, we're not doing this as consultants who are coming in and saying, this is what the data is saying, here are the recommendations, here are the conclusions, here's what you need to do next. No, it's more about playing back our observations and helping them come to those conclusions. So they really own it. So there's a big piece of self-awareness building that happens in that process. You know, it's really about them understanding how this model works. It's about them understanding their reality, becoming more aware, more conscious of their reality, and then empowering them to actually make the changes. And then in the third part, which is the harnessing phase is really where the programs start to get put in place. So that's where we'll come in with our, you know, Being Leader program, for example. And that's targeted to leaders, obviously. And it's a program that helps them lead, you know, from a more deeper place, from a more authentic place, from a place of their purpose, their values, their core. And in that process, obviously, we'll take them through exercises and take them through experiences where it is really about building their self-awareness, building up their understanding of who they are, why they're here. And how that relates to the job that they're in and how that relates to the context that they're in. So empowering them to make those kind of changes in their lives. So I hope that answers the question a little bit.
Let me add one point.
Add one more? Yeah.
What we noticed with many of our partners who are coaches, who are also OD specialists. Many of them, they've done the assessment, and in some cases, I've been invited in to even do a facilitation through the discovery phase. So take the assessment, look at the insights, have a discussion around the insights, and allow to unfold their recommendations, their next steps forward. And many of our partners, they themselves have their portfolio of trainings and other programs that they, whenever they find fit, they roll that out. If that is the right intervention for a certain individual or for a certain organization to realize more of their human potential. So yes, these three steps are there, and Mark spoke about the Being Leader as an example, as a harnessing program. Yet we have partners who have their own portfolio, or they have their own network of training partners who have wonderful, amazing programs or other interventions, and they elegantly use it. And at the end of a process of 6 months or 12 months, they come back to the assessment and reassess themselves and see, how are we doing today as an organization, or how am I doing today as an individual? Does that help in extending your thinking, Rebecca?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, both of you. That was really helpful.
I also just want to comment, Mark, I really appreciated that this whole approach is, again, very much from a coaching model as opposed to a consulting model. That it's, as you were answering Rebecca's question, and what I get from you as you talk about this and in conversations that you and I have had about it before, that it really is about calling forth that wisdom and the power. It is about empowering the people into their own magnificence, as opposed to saying, let me tell you what you need to do, or I'll teach you this. So I really, really appreciate that that it is not coming from a consulting model. It is very much coming from a coaching model and a drawing out, a calling forth model.
Mm. Thank you, Ellen. Yeah, that's very important to us.
Yes.
Anyone else? Something you'd like to say, or a question, just press 1 on your phone or Skype keypad. Don't see anything else, so I think maybe we can wrap up here today. So Jen and Mark, anything you'd like to say? Just we have one more from Veronique, and you have the microphone.
Hi. Hi, Mark. I think you might recognize me. Thank you so much for this wonderful session. I really would just like to say the last comments speak to me, because I really appreciate that you go from a, more than even a coaching, it's also the facilitation, it seems, rather than, you know, dictating what people are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's about enabling them and giving, handing them over the opportunity to take charge of their own lives, of their futures. And I mean, I've had conversations with Mark and we've talked about many things. So I understand a bit of the model, and it's so nice to see and to hear more about it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Veronique.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah, it's very important to us that, you know, not just because we simply adopt a coaching model, also because of our life experience, combined, 30 years or more in the organization, the change management, in the personal transformation realm, that people are infinitely resourceful. And we do such a bad job of giving them the empowering them, you know, to giving them the opportunity to seek within, you know, what is waiting to unfold. And from a change management perspective within an organization, we also know that, you know, people are much more inclined to change when the motive, the impetus for change comes from within, rather than, you know, yes, I'm sure that Mark and I, including this beautiful network of very accomplished people that we have around us who help us, you know, if we would take a look at the data, we might be able to give tons of recommendations, because we've been in Fortune 500 companies, we've been in numerous startups. So we have some understanding, some knowledge, and we can feed it back and say, like, you know what, this is my recommendation. You guys start doing these training programs. You hire and fire here, etc. We simply have come to a place in our lives, Veronique, that, you know, we, as our own personal practice, we must learn to honor the resources that's available within each individual or within each organization. Mm-hmm. Help them to bring that out and harness it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. And Chris, you have the microphone.
Thanks, Alan. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. So, Mark, I just wanted to say, you know, that I really enjoyed your presentation. I really love the potential that you're talking about with this tool. You and I have had many, or several conversations before, because you know that, you know, I'm a trainer for another organizational diagnostic tool, which is based on values and consciousness levels. And I've trained hundreds of people to use this particular tool. But I don't want to go on about that. What I really want to say to you is that what you said in the last 10 minutes or so about the methodology that underpins your tool, so irrespective of what tool we use, the methodology which engages people in discovering for themselves what's going on in their organization, and for then themselves coming up with their next steps and their plan and how they're going to engage with people in their organization. And probably the most important thing, at least in my experience of working in this field for quite a long time now, is the leadership that's required to take the team, to take the organization through the transformation journey, which is often a rocky one. So, you know, for me, I differentiate two things here. The tool, and I think yours is a great tool, and I really would love to hear much more about it as you develop it over the future. But the second thing is the methodology, and I think that the methodology is you know, a really key component of what you're offering here. So I really wish you some good luck with that.
Wow. Thanks, Chris. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, I think to wrap up the call today, Sujit and Mark, just if you have another one or two sentences here in closing from each of you.
Mark?
Go ahead, Sujit.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, again, you know, I want to thank you, Ellen, you know, so selflessly, so enthusiastically, you know, opening up your network to invite, welcome us in and share the path we are on. And of course, Mark Braver and Mary and Kim and everyone who facilitated this process. We have actually one very important, I mean, in the introduction we spoke about, the personal journey that has kind of brought us to this place with the two. And the way we felt is, you know, we are doing a work, not so much as a job, but something that we are gifted to be in this place at this moment to deliver. And for that reason, we also spoke to ourselves. We said, like, you know what? We do not want to claim ownership in a self-absorbed way. And that is also a reason why we did not trademark it or copyright it or do anything like that, because we, that vision, as the vision statement said, we want simply human potential to become the number one focus. We all carry infinite potential, whether we are individuals in a household or whether we are an organization or a political organization or an NGO or a society. There's infinite potential within us waiting to be unfolded. And anybody who feels that way and who feels this kind of a model will help in their environment, their ecosystem, stepping up, elevating, then it's there. It's there. You know, use it. Don't feel constrained because, you know, it is conceived or put together by a group somewhere else. Don't feel constrained to use that as part of a conversation. And it's part of that process that I was so enthusiastic when Mark mentioned, Ellen, you know, you're inviting us to speak to your audience. So I wanted to repeat that again as I feel this sense of gratitude to be here in this talk today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful sense of it. Yeah, I also am feeling extremely grateful for this opportunity, for everything that has you know, gotten us to this point. You know, and in my introduction, I shared, you know, my journey, and you know, it's only now that I'm able to connect those dots, and I'm able to see that my experience in market research was much, much, much more than I could have imagined 10 years ago. You know, and that I was setting me up for something much, much more. And so I'm just, yeah, I'm just feeling extremely grateful for all that, you know, as I can see the bigger picture now, and I start to see more of the picture, you know, because there's still so much there that is unfolding. But there's just an immense sense of of gratitude, and obviously for Ellen, and like I said again in the beginning, for all the, you know, the support that you've given to me, and you know, it's just wonderful. And then also just, you know, the comments at the end, the feedback that we've gotten, and of course, Mary and Mark, you know, just hearing what you played back so authentically, you know, we didn't brief you on that. At least I didn't. I don't know, Sujit, if you briefed him, but that was,
no.
It was so wonderful to hear that come back. So thank you so much for everything. So I think we'll close on that note.
Well, thank you so much, Mark,
fun.
And Yeah, thank you, Mark and Sujit. This was just great. Thank you, Mary and Mark Braver as well for being here. It was indeed very helpful to hear from you about your experience in using this model. And I just am so excited that we were able to present this from the Center for Transformational Presence, because this is so in alignment with who we are, Transformational Presence being all about human potential for sure. And so it's just very exciting to me that now people in our community also, there's the possibility of a model here, an assessment tool that they might use to help, as Catherine so beautifully said, make that bridge. But in speaking the language that they speak in corporations and organizations, and opening onto the stuff that's the really important stuff. So thank you so much. For those of you who were listening in for the first time here with us at the Center for Transformational Presence, please visit our website at transformationalpresence.org. There are many things going on there for you, including the Transformational Presence Leadership and Coaching Program that Mark and Mary and Mark Braver, all three, spoke about today. And we'd love to see you and to welcome you into our community. So thanks, everyone, for being with us today, and we'll look forward to being with you on another call in the future. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks.